One today. I think it's fall. I'm not sure. Is the 22nd, is that when fall starts? Yeah. So it felt like fall yesterday. So probably today, but maybe more so yesterday. All right. Let's go ahead and let's have a word of prayer and we'll dig in together. Lord, we thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to come together and to consider prayer, Lord, and consider what you have called us to, Lord. Consider your desire to hear from us, Lord. Father, we thank you that you are the God who does all that he pleases, Lord, and we know that you are all powerful, that you accomplish your purposes, and that you will be glorified, Lord. And Lord, we thank you that you are also the God who calls us to seek you as our refuge, and you are a God who is near and who cares for us, Lord. Thank you for your fatherly care for your people, Lord. Lord, we ask that you would help us this morning. Would you, by your Spirit, give us eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord? Would you help us to just consider your truth and how that applies to our lives and how we can grow in grace? In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so this morning, a question, what is prayer? And the answer, prayer is praying our hearts to God in praise, petition, confession of sin, and thanksgiving. And our text is Psalm 62:8. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. So we have a special opportunity and a unique opportunity here. We're starting the third part of the catechism, and we've had a couple of weeks where we've talked about the Holy Spirit, and then we're going to transition for 4 weeks into some question and answers on prayer. So we have an opportunity here to kind of camp out on this subject, consider this subject, and I think it's significant. You know, part three is, you know, the Spirit, restoration and growing in grace, and we have an opportunity here to consider what it means to grow in grace and the vital role that prayer plays in helping us grow in grace. So that's kind of where we're heading for the next 4 weeks. So you'll see just an overview. What is prayer? With what attitude should we pray? What should we pray? And then we'll finish by asking, what is the Lord's Prayer? So just an opportunity to consider, first, what is prayer? What should our disposition be when we pray? What should we pray? And I think the scriptures are very helpful in helping us to see what we should pray. And then we'll look at the Lord's Prayer there. So to start with discussing the question, this week, discussing the question, we're not going to really discuss the question. And I think, I don't know if I wasn't able to kind of channel my inner Puritan, but I wasn't able to look at what is prayer and draw out like three questions for us on that. So we're going to look at a couple questions that I think will help us kind of pump the prime for this subject, get us thinking on this subject. So the first question is, why should we pray? So why should we pray, or why do we pray? Yeah, you don't have relationship without communication. So that's a huge part of this. Yeah, we're dependent on him. Yeah, definitely. And spiritually, when we think about our dependence on him, if we've been crucified with Christ, it's no longer I who live, but he who lives in me. If Christ is going to live through me, we're dependent on him to do that. How else? Or why else? Yeah, scripture commands it. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah, it's a great opportunity to rightly see who God is, to see who we are, to humble ourselves, realize that we are dependent on Him and see Him as He truly is and see Him as the source of all we need and the source of our joy. Yeah, I think that's a really important one. Is prayer is an opportunity for us to relate to our Father, and as we pray, our will can be shaped to His will, and our desires can be brought in line with His desires. Just the interaction with praying and answers or the common saying, there's always an answer to prayer, whether it's yes or no. So if we come and we're praying, we may have a prayer that's going to be more of a yes answer, but the Lord will kind of fuel that and flame that on. Or we may have a prayer that's more of a no answer, and God's able to, through consistency and persistence in prayer, take that prayer that's a no prayer and change it to a prayer that's in line with His will and a prayer that's good for us. There's probably several more that we could say, but I think there's at least one more big one I can think of. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. What did you say? I'm sorry. Yeah. So yeah, the idea of growth, our need for growth, our need to grow in grace, definite relationship there with praying, for sure. Confession. Yep. Yeah, so if prayer is communicating with God, it's hard to confess sin without communicating with Him. Yeah. So I think you guys are hitting a lot of really good ones here. I think there's still one more hanging out there, and I'm actually, yeah, there's one more hanging out, I'll just say that. It's a form of worship, yeah. Yeah, so not just asking Him for things, but thanking Him, worshiping Him in that way. Maybe what are some situations that would move us to pray? Or what are some things that would move us to pray? What did you say? Health. Yeah, and why would we pray for health? Yeah, more for people getting better. Yeah, so we pray for things because prayer changes things, right? So we come and we make our requests known to Him because we desire to see change. Change in circumstances and change in the things that are happening in our lives. Definitely. So I think we hit a lot of good ones. I'd like to look at Luke 11, and we can hit at least three of the big ones. Three reasons that we see here in this Luke text are, it's a command, a divine command. That's one reason to pray. Two, fellowship with God. I think you guys did a great job of hitting on that idea. And then three being that prayer changes things. So Luke 11, and we'll cover the first 13 verses, but not necessarily read all of them, but we'll cover points from this first 13 verses. So starting with verse 1, now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when He finished, one of His disciples said to Him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught His disciples. And He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. So, the Lord says, when you pray, here's how you pray. So the Lord is telling His people to pray. If you think of 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we are to pray without ceasing, or we are to pray continually. So there's a command and imperative there to pray. So we are commanded to pray. Moving down to verses 9 through 13, we'll read those. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So if you look there in verses 9, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. So in order for things to change, you have to ask, you have to seek, you have to knock. So the idea of prayer changing things. James 4:2 says, you do not have because you do not ask. So there's a relationship between prayer and our circumstances, our situations changing. And that often drives us to prayer. That's a big impetus for us to pray. And then there in 11, you have this picture of a father being asked for something by his son. And the point being made that your Heavenly Father will give good gifts to those who seek him. And particularly he says the Spirit as a good gift. And I think that's interesting in light of what we looked at last week when we're talking about prayer or the Holy Spirit. Now we're talking about prayer. And I think the Spirit is a huge thing that we need to be asking for, that we can be growing in grace through the help of the Spirit. But I think there's a picture here where the Lord is being compared to an earthly father. And an earthly father knows how to give good gifts to his children. But he wants his children to ask for those gifts. He wants to have a relationship and he wants to interact with them. And the Lord desires to give us good gifts too, but he desires that we communicate and that we interact with him as well. Psalm 62, obviously, there's a relational aspect there. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. He wants to be our refuge. He wants to have that relationship with us. So I think we hit a lot of good reasons to pray there. Now, to kind of go a little bit different direction, what are some things that prevent us from praying? Don't feel like we have time. Yeah, so there's a temptation for us to take things that are a much lower priority than prayer and bump them up, just because I think there's a temptation to say, this thing is here, I feel like I need to get this done. And we lose sight of our need for the Lord, our need for his grace, and we just get busy doing instead of spending that time with the Lord and asking for his help. Yeah, that's a big one. Go ahead, Janelle. Yeah, a lot of times in our pride we feel like we can handle things and we can handle situations. So since we feel like we've got this, then we don't go to the Lord to get the help that we truly need. Definitely. And by asking what prevents us to pray, I'm not trying to take a really negative angle with this, but I just want to call out kind of that elephant in the room and just kind of get some of these things on the table where there are things that do keep us from praying. And I think it's helpful to kind of draw those out here at the beginning when we're going to spend some time looking at this. Go ahead, Marcia. Yeah. So pride, and maybe it's a weaker expression of pride. You know, we have pride as, you know, like a strong, not that it's good, but like what we'd see as like a strong expression of pride, where like, I don't need the Lord. But then another expression of pride where we're like, we just want to take it in, we want to wallow in it, and we just want to have that pride of self-love that can keep us from going to the Lord and be an obstruction to confessing our sin and seeking Him, definitely. Go ahead, Roger. Yeah, that makes sense. So, do you have something to...
Yeah, I think related to that, we get so caught up in those things that are typical and earthly that we become apathetic to that missional, eternal call on our lives. And when we're focused on eternity, we have to pray. And when we're all focused on worldly things, it's like,
Yeah, so when we're, when we're just focusing on things that are not of eternal value, when we're not engaged with the body, not engaged in outreach, there's going to be less clear of a visibility of, I need the Lord. Like, I need the Lord to work a miracle to save this person, or I need the Lord to work in this relationship and do a work here to bring peace in this relationship or to bring encouragement to this brother or sister. So when we're actively engaged and when we're focusing on the right things, then we are going to be driven to prayer and we're going to see our need for the Spirit in that. Go ahead. Oh, you got one? Yeah, go ahead, Rain. Yeah. So sometimes we need to learn how to pray. Yeah. And I think we need to be okay with, this is where I am, and just moving forward and learning. So if you feel like you need to learn how to pray, that's okay. That's how life works. We are where we are, and then we seek God's help to move forward in that. Go ahead, Liz. Yeah. So, like, how would you pray for that?
Like, what would it look like?
Yeah. Like, maybe.
Like, Lord, help me. Like, help me with my attitude.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, Tammy.
Or I eat my sleep.
So if we think about that idea of lack of faith and what you're saying there, you know, we've all heard it said that, you know, I don't know who said this. I'm sure many have said this, but when we're busy, we're too busy not to pray. Like when you're really busy, that's like when you need to be praying more and you need to bump that up your priority list and you need to make time for that even though you're busy. And in that, that's where we have to exercise faith. We have to exercise faith that when I pray, this is gonna change things. This is gonna help me with the things that I'm doing. This is gonna be important to my relationship with the Lord and Him living through me. So yeah, I think it is those things that just we bump up over prayer just because we have prayer out of line. We don't have the true priority, and it comes down to, are we gonna exercise faith in what the Lord has told us about prayer? And we're going to exercise faith in His power to work in this world, and His desire and His care to work in our lives. So I think that's probably a good place to close that section of our conversation, and we'll keep moving here. So Psalm 62 is our text. Thank you guys, by the way. I think that's just a good discussion to have and kind of think through some of those things together. But if you want to turn to Psalm 62, we'll kind of get more towards defining what prayer is. I'm going to go ahead and read the whole psalm. I think it'll just be helpful as we work through this. So to the choir master, according to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From Him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will all of you attack a man to batter him, like a leaning wall, a tottering fence? They only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my glory, my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Those of low estate are but a breath. Those of high estate are a delusion. In the balances they go up, they are together lighter than a breath. Put no trust in extortion. Set no vain hopes on robbery. If riches increase, set your heart not on them. Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that power belongs to God, and that to you, O Lord, belongs steadfast love, for you will render to a man according to his work. So before we discuss the context of that psalm, what are psalms? If you were to describe what a psalm is, what would you say? Praises? Yeah, praises to God. If you look at the last five psalms, you'll see that I believe they start and end with hallelujah. So yeah, praise the Lord. I think that gives us a pretty big clue of what the psalms are about. So praises, how else might we describe psalms? Prayers. Yeah. So with the psalms, we have a prayer book. And I think if we think of the psalms as a prayer book, because they are prayers, if you look at Psalm 1 and 2, you know, Psalm 1, this is a prayer book that talks about being blessed in terms of delighting in the law of the Lord. So this is a prayer book that helps us understand the word of the Lord. And then Psalm 2 is a psalm talking about the Lord's promised coming King. And it ends by saying, blessed are all those who take refuge in Him. So we're blessed when we delight in the Lord. We're blessed when we take refuge in Him. So these are prayers that help us to delight in the Lord. They teach us to delight in His law and in the Lord. And they teach us what it is to hope. Hope in the Messiah and hope in His coming. He's obviously come and He's done a great work, but we're still hoping for what is to come in the future as well. Go ahead, Marcia. It's poetry. Yeah, so as poetry, there's an expressiveness, you know, even here as we're looking at what does it mean to pour out our hearts to the Lord. The Psalms help us see what that looks like in a very beautiful way. Yeah, so I think you hit it on the head, a prayer book. And we'll look in a couple weeks when we look through what should we pray, I think we'll see even more how the Psalms are a prayer book and a help to us as we learn to pray. Learn to pray better. So what is the context of Psalm 62? And this doesn't have to be real descriptive or in-depth, but just kind of what's the general context? You don't have to tell me the historical background or anything like that, but like kind of what's going on for David here. Not that I saw for this one. I think if we look, you know, to maybe look at 3 and 4 and just let's describe what's going on. I think that's a good thought, Marcia. I'm not sure on that, but I don't think we need to get even that descriptive. Yeah, is that what you saw? Yeah. Yeah, so that's perhaps a historical situation kind of rooted in this. You know, there's definitely falsehood involved there. Those who take pleasure in falsehood. But I think the main thing is he's threatened. He's in need of a refuge and he's going to the Lord, for his refuge. So looking more at verse 8 and looking at our question, how does prayer help us to trust in the Lord at all times? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so we are communicating with the Lord. We have a person with us. Yeah, I think that's good way to describe that. Yeah. Yeah, we need to trust in him at all times because we can do it. Yeah, so prayer, yeah, it reminds us that God is there. I saw an illustration, I don't want to push this too far, but you know the idea of pray without ceasing, that kind of idea. What this person said is we should always think of, you know, we're praying, but God is always on the line. And it's not that we want to put God on hold or anything like that, but this is the idea that there are things that take our attention in life and that we have to focus on. But we should always be quick to want to get back to the Lord as we have time and as we're able and just be mindful of him. So just kind of always having this communication with the Lord going in. And when we are focusing on things, wanting to be quick to get back to him and to commune with him. Mm-hmm.
They are the other lighters of breath. In other words,
Man is nothing. I think that's well said, and where to put our trust in the Lord. You know, don't put your trust in the devices that they're using. Put your confidence in the God who is greater than those things. Yeah. Yeah, so through prayer we can come to understand what's true. The Lord reveals to us the truth and reveals to us his character. Yeah, definitely. I think one thing that's been helpful is if you have the devotional, I think the section by John Piper is pretty helpful here when we think about how does prayer help us to trust in the Lord at all times? So I'd like to take a little bit of time to walk through that. I think that section of the devotional is a very helpful bridge between the last 2 weeks where we've talked about the Holy Spirit and now talking about prayer. And you'll see the quote on the bottom of the page, but this is from the devotional. It says, "Prayer is the way you walk by the Spirit. Prayer is the way you walk by faith." In other words, it's the breath of the Christian life all day long. Just breathe in, breathe out. It's the way you live. And then he kind of goes through and describes what that looks like. But he shows how prayer is a very vital way for us to walk by the Spirit. And he walks through that and he uses the four elements from our catechism answer. So if you look at praise, petition, confession of sin, and thanksgiving. So he walks through those things. And so this is just kind of a way that he's practically tried to think through prayer and walking by the Spirit here. And so confession of sin, that comes with first, we're going to see areas in our life where we clearly need help. We're going to need help. And so we confess our need for help, and we confess that we don't deserve the Lord's help, that it's his mercy that he would help us. And just have a rightful spirit, you know, as we said earlier, have that humility to know who we are before the Lord, but to know that the Lord desires the help. So he says, anytime you're seeing a situation in your life where you see, I need help, and that should be often, you know what I mean? We need help all the time. So when we're coming across these situations, we can confess to the Lord that we need help, confess that we are sinful. And then we can petition and ask the Lord for help. Lord, would you help me in this way? So if you're interacting with a coworker and you realize that a situation is coming for you to be able to speak gospel truths and to encourage them, if you're like me, you're going to know, I need help. Like, I need help here, Lord. And so just confessing our need for help, seeking his help, and then petitioning and say, Lord, please help me. Lord, you call me to be bold in this. Please help me to be bold. Lord, you call me to love my neighbor. Please help me to love my neighbor. And he talks about this idea of laying hold of some truth. So you can take a passage such as Isaiah 43, which he talks about there, where the Lord strengthens his people with his righteous right hand. So, Lord, would you strengthen me for this task? And what we're doing there is we're exercising faith in the Lord and his character and his promises. So through prayer, exercising faith, and then trusting him to help us, and praising him as the God who wants to help us. So you have that idea of praise worked in there. And then, you know, sharing, working in the gospel truth, and then thanking the Lord. So if things go well, we thank the Lord. If things don't go as well as we want, we still thank the Lord because we were trusting the Lord to help us with that interaction and with that time with that person. So I think if you read through the devotional, I definitely point you to the devotional. It helps us to think through that a little bit more. But that's how he kind of takes this idea of pouring out your heart to God and these elements of praise, petition, confession of sin, and connects it to how do I walk by the Spirit. And once again, it's prayer, it's exercising faith through prayer. And I want to read one text to go along with that too. I think this will kind of bridge the gaps in what we're talking about here. And it's going to be Galatians 3:5. I'll just read it. He says, "Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" So this idea of supplying the Spirit, how does the Lord do that? By hearing with faith. It's not, obviously not by works of the law, not by the good things that we do to try and please the Lord, but it's by hearing with faith. That's how the Spirit is supplied for us. So if we want to walk by the Spirit and have the Spirit supplied, have Christ living in us, we need to exercise faith. What better way than to come before the Lord, exercise faith in His promises, and seek His help through prayer? Does that make sense, or is there any way to clarify those things? Makes sense. Okay. That's good. So I would commend that to you as something good to think through. That's been helpful for me, just to think through my weakness, my need for the Spirit to help me to obey the Lord and to live the Christian life. That's been a really helpful passage for me. That passage is helpful, but that teaching has been helpful for me to kind of think those things through. Who does the psalmist call to prayer? Everyone, yeah. So just a quick basic point here that we're all called to prayer. You know, prayer is not just for the elite. You know, there's no first class, second class, none of that garbage. We're all called to prayer, and that's what the Lord has called us all to do. And there's a privilege. We can pour out our heart to the Lord. Our Heavenly Father has called us to Him. So there's the grace in that. Now, what does it look like to pour out our heart before God? Yeah, vulnerability, definitely. Yeah. So we're going to come speak our heart. We definitely want to be respectful in that, but there's also a sense in which the Lord, He knows our hearts, so we can pour out our hearts before Him because He knows them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we're hitting that pretty good. So there's a couple of passages there that you can see examples of from Scripture of pouring out your heart to God. I think we've talked some of how God is a refuge for us. So through life, we need a refuge. We need someone to run to help us in life. We see our sin. We need a refuge to go to. We need to run to the Lord, run to Him for help, and just know that He is our refuge. He has done the work for us of dealing with that sin that we see, or we face issues with people and we're attacked, so we run to the Lord as our refuge. What do verses 11 and 12 communicate to us about the character of God and how He relates to His people? Yeah, steadfast love. So the Lord sets his love on his people. It's a loyal love. It's steadfast. It's persistent. We see that in Scripture. His steadfast love. Yeah, so he's a strong refuge. And just getting back to the idea of when we pray, we're going to the one who is all-powerful. We're going to the one who controls all things. And we're also going to the one who cares for us, the one who is a refuge. So these attributes of the Lord, his character, who he is, should move us to prayer. If the Lord was powerful, but he didn't care, you know what I mean? That would be one thing. Or if he cared, but he wasn't powerful, you know, that would be one thing. And that would probably impact how we view prayer, but neither of those things are true. The Lord is not only powerful, he also cares for us. And in light of that, we should move towards him and seek, yeah. Go ahead. That's a beautiful picture. That's just well said. I'm not gonna add anything to that. Okay, go for it. So that's a great point, is the Lord is the one who deals with things, who ultimately vindicates and deals out justice, for sure. Let's go ahead and answer, look at the answer and spend some time on that. We're going to look at just these four elements from the answer. And you have some scriptural examples for each that we can look at. But I thought as we look at these things and we consider how they take shape in our prayers, I'd like to just talk about those things as a group. And then I'd like to talk, if you have practical helps, that you feel like would be beneficial for others to hear, you know. So if we're thinking about how does praise and prayer take shape, if you have practical helps or things that you have done that have helped you in that area, I'd be glad to hear those things and for those things to be shared with the class to build one another up and encourage one another. So I will jump in there with how might praise and prayer take shape. Go ahead, Liz. Yeah. So as a family, you know, mealtime is an opportunity for us to pray. These things that we're talking about are good things to be a part of our prayers. I think, you know, the acronym ACTS is probably pretty familiar, or CATS if you want to reorganize the letters. And so that's really what we have here. If you look at each of those elements, you can tie them out to that. So praise would be adoration. The S would be supplication, petition. Confession of sin would be obviously confession for that, and then thanksgiving. So you can kind of map those out. But I think, you know, as we think about that, these are good things to be a part of our prayers. I don't think they have to be present in each of our presences. It's not like a formula that we have to follow all the time. Like, I need to make sure I have these four elements as part of my prayer. But I think they should be a part of our prayers. And we're probably prone to do a better job with hitting supplication hard. And maybe we're not praying with thankfulness or with thanksgiving or confession of sin and praise. I think it's easier to get in like supplication mode. But I think family, you know, family dinners, good opportunity to take a break and spend time praying to the Lord as a family. Even on our Sunday mornings, as we're here together, you know, as we think through some of these things, these elements are a part of our service, and we're trying to show a pattern of what does it look like to praise the Lord, to petition the Lord, to confess our sin together corporately with the Lord, and to thank the Lord together. So we have opportunities as family to do these things. We have an opportunity as a church family to do them as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's something we'll talk more about in a couple of weeks, is scripture really helps us with praise. Because like we said, the Psalms are our prayer book. They're helping us to delight in the Lord. So when we come to his word, that's going to help us with praise. Go ahead, Janelle. Yeah. Yeah, definitely to consider who the Lord is. That's important to prepare our hearts in that, so that we're prepared to praise him. You know, it's gonna drive us to see the holiness of God, and it's also gonna help us to see who we are. And it's gonna help us with confession of sin when we see, like, as you said, you know, how holy God is and what it was like. You know, we can't interact with the Lord without Christ, and so that holiness and our need for Christ is going to drive us to confession. So maybe kind of thinking of confession, I think that's one helpful thing. What might confession, or how might confession of sin and prayer take shape? And all these things are somewhat self-evident, you know, as you look at it, but if you guys have anything that's been been helpful to you. In one sense, they're self-evident, but in another sense, when we ponder and we think about things, there's often a lot more depth there than we think. Go ahead. Yeah, so if you're a person that pride demonstrates itself in that way where you're driven to self-loathing, where you feel like you need to do penitence, you know what I mean? There is a sense in which we need to be sorry for our sin, but I think we can clearly see that we often take it too far, and where we're trying to bear it in a way that we're not supposed to, in a way that's sinful. Confession of sin is wonderful because we can run to the Lord, we can confess our sin, and we can find joy in the Lord, and we can just leave it behind, and I just feel like we have to hold on to it. So confession of sin is an opportunity for us to recognize who we are and recognize what the Lord has done, for sure. Yeah, definitely to ask that he would search you and know you and help you to see ways that are grievous within you that you don't know. Like, Lord, draw those out so I can confess those to you and be just in a right disposition with you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to confess just that in that way. Say, even though I don't see it or do it, and I'm here confessing that I am a sinner, calling for you.
Yeah, that's so helpful just to realize that we're always falling short, that just recognize our weakness through and through. Definitely is helpful. That's gonna help us to see our need for the Lord. It's going to help us as we seek to walk by the Spirit, as we see, Lord, I need your help here, and to not just wait for specific things that we feel like we need to go to the Lord for, but just to be mindful of who we are in relationship to the Lord. I think if Steve was here, you know, he would say keep short accounts with the Lord. So, you know, be quick to run to the Lord. Don't let things fester. I think that ties into what Tammy's saying too, you know, we don't need to let things fester. Let's keep short accounts with what we do know, you know, and be quick to run to the Lord in that. But yeah, those are good thoughts there. Thank you guys for sharing. That's helpful to think through together. Next week, we'll look more at, I think we'll cover Thanksgiving more next week as we think about with what attitude should we pray. I think Philippians 4 is going to have a lot of really good things for us there. So let's go ahead and let's pray now. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters, Lord. I thank you for your work in their lives, Lord, and thank you for just the ways that you have helped them to pray, the things that you have taught them about prayer, Lord. Pray that you would grow each of us, Lord, in prayer, that you would help us to see the joy that is there in communing with you and in being with you, Lord, and to just have our hearts set aright by you, Lord, that you would help us to know our state, to know our need of Christ, and to find joy in that, Lord. Father, would you help us as we think these things through, Lord, by your Spirit? Help us to think clearly on these things, Lord. Would you empower us to pray? Would you empower us to move through the things that hinder us and prevent us, Lord, and just help us to see clearly prayer, that we might prioritize it and order it rightly in our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.